The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, we took a week off, but, you know, I almost won 3 games in a row last week, co-host Aramis Bros. Aramis, sir, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, ready to talk about some nightmarish Halloween-like magic stuff.
I should get that music, but let's just get ready to... Yeah, you can't put This Is Halloween on Disney's or Evil. So, untap, upkeep, and draw. Before we begin, we'd like to remind you that this episode, and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast, is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to absolutely everyone, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and in Poughkeepsie, New York, on the second floor of their Galleria, Kerwin's Game Store reminds you that they are the absolute best place to go in gaming. Now, they have an awesome website if you can't get to their brick-and-mortar store, which is, you know, jargon for, you know, the store with brick and mortar. But they have a great website you can go to buy stuff. Go to KGS Online. That is KiteGoSamuelOnline.com, or it stands for Kerwin's Game Store. And if you put a promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout, you'll get 5% off that online order. And so they're great. We love them. We couldn't be more thankful. We also want to take a second to recognize our patrons. Our rare level patrons are Steve, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer, VJ, Bell, Josh, Jonathan, George, David, Anthony, and Dragon D's Nuts. I love it. Dude, stay a patron forever. We also want to shout out our Mythic Rare patrons, Jake, Jonathan, and Imagine Dragon the Sea Cross Your Face. And we do not want to forget our producer-level patrons, both Jamie and Walter. These people help us out in so many various ways. One of the great perks they get is, I forgot to put that in Discord, so I will do that, is the chance to play with us on our Wednesday Commander Craft podcast, which is 7 o'clock on Wednesday. We still need 2 seats open, so if you're a patron, let me know through a DM in Discord or email, smoke signal, carrier pigeon. Don't send a raven because that's too Game of Thrones for my liking. But if you want to get on that, and there are other bonus benefits as well for patrons, just go to patreon.com/planestalkers. It'll really be interesting because they're going to get first dibs at the next win a box. And since we are pretty sure of what we're going to do, it's going to be really important because basically it's going to be similar to what we just did with Historic Brawl, but we're only going to allow 1 Historic Brawl per tournament. Or a commander, I guess, is what you'd call it. 1 commander per tournament. So patrons get first stab. So you want to be a part of that, patreon.com/planestalkers. And that does remind me that, don't forget, Wednesday night is our Commander Craft broadcast. I do believe Nick is the champion. We really should write that down.
Pretty sure it's Nick, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Nick as well. So we do need 2 more patrons and 1 more non-patron. Let me know if you want to play. Also, we want to remind you that we are proud to bleed the We're proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers network of podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel, and you can download them on almost all podcatchers now, including Apple. Hit them up on our Discord. They have their own channel. They're doing really well. They're getting a really good response, and I'm very excited for them. Finally, we want to remind you about our survey. Go to survey.plainstalkerspodcast.com. Let us know how we're doing, what you think of the show. And that would be great. So survey.plainstalkerspodcast.com. We are still in untap, though, and so I'm going to untap a Coke. That's right. I'm just drinking a good old Coke Zero Sugar. That's what I'm doing tonight. Just Coke Zero Sugar. That's all. Just Coke Zero Sugar.
With some rum.
No rum. I'm just pouring it in a glass. It's very important that we have a glass of Coke Zero Sugar.
Yeah, uh-huh. Don't think I didn't see the liquid at the bottom.
Oh, there was liquid in the bottom? Oh, I need to yell at these kids for how they've been washing dishes lately.
Oh, I'm encouraging underage drinking now, I see.
Encouraging? No. Providing. providing.
Oh, that's so much better. That's so much better.
We're still in untapped. So how the hell are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Innistrad Midnight Hunt is out. I picked up some cards. I have my set booster box for our box battle ready to go. I know you're getting yours later.
Yeah, hopefully it'll come this week and we'll go Friday.
Yeah. So. If not, we'll get it in. I like the I like how the set looks. I mean, power level, we'll talk about it, but it was a good weekend. Got some stuff done. And just looking forward to talking about it all.
Yeah, me too. I was out of town. I left town Friday morning, bright and early, like 5 a.m. Drove down to New Jersey, which is where our corporate headquarters is. Worked there pretty much a half a day. Got a lot done. They actually sent me back with a server. So I spent all day today just standing a server up in my office because we don't have one actually up here. And I was like, look, I want a server up there. Like, we should have one. They took us out to dinner Friday night. So I'm expecting to go to dinner with my buddy Bill and his wife, meet his wife. This is going to be great. And then my boss comes in, Terry, and she's like, listen, I'm going to dinner with you guys too. I'm like, great, no problem. I show up and the COO of the company is also there. I'm like, oh, frack.
But he should have brought the t-shirt with the tuxedo print.
I should have brought the t-shirt with the tuxedo print. Hey, Justin's in Georgia. That's the night that the lights went. Never mind. Justin,
he's
good
down
to see
in the dirty south.
Yeah.
That's way down.
Should we be talking like that? Listen, I'll talk with the Georgia accent. You just talk really fast like this. That's Georgia. Georgia talks really fast, and they kind of take their O's and they just expand them a little bit. But anyway, he was cool, though. He had a lot of great stories, and, you know, I was joking at first, but I'm just like, oh, God, I'm at dinner with the COO. And we know, listen, I am not the most professional person I've ever met. And I could say the stupidest things in the world, but I was so on my best behavior. And in fact, at one point he goes, wow, he didn't really even seem to talk that much, which tells me that everybody was saying, all I do is talk.
I wasn't going to say anything, but...
Saturday, we went to the Renaissance Festival in Pennsylvania, and that was really cool. Like, I've been to Sterling up here and stuff, but that was a really neat Ren Fest. I kind of want to go again. Had a lot of fun. Drank a lot of... I had some honey mead. I wasn't a big fan of that, but then they had this blueberry cider that was out of this world, and then, you know, I found IPAs and stuff. So it was overall an incredibly great weekend. I really enjoyed it. Got back yesterday around noon. I was hoping to stop at Kerwin's, but I was like, I really just want to go home and literally crash the rest of the day. So
yeah, never been to a Ren Fest.
They're fun. You got to go in garb, man. If you're going to do it, you go in garb. Like, it really is. So congratulations, Justin. I know you graduated from Job Corps. I still follow Miss Hall. So let's go into Upkeep from Untap here. Untap is when we talk about ourselves. Upkeep is we're going to tell you what's happening on the show. So tonight we're going to spend a lot of main one going over the state of Standard. Obviously things have finally shifted. It is still settling, believe it or not. And it's an unusual rotation in that, you know, we'll talk about that, but there are a few things that are a little unusual about this one. We'll get into a little bit, very little. We are not MTG Finance by any stretch, but I do kind of want to talk about some of the EV that's going on out there because it is kind of showing that there has definitely been some shifts. Following that, we've got combat, and obviously we want to talk a little bit about the health of Standard, how we feel it's going with the power level declining. Did it decline too much? Etc. Main two, we're going to talk a little news here about Worlds. We're going to introduce, well, not reintroduce because they're not on the show, but we will announce our Win a Box winner. We do have one. And then Aramis got an email in our Planeswalker email with a deck tech. So that's the show tonight. So it seems pretty wall to wall. Why don't we get right into the main phase?
Main phase.
All right. Main phase. So. We like to start, especially when Standard is as good as it is, talking about the state of Standard. Standard has had some changes. So
yes.
Goodbye, Throne of Eldraine. We will miss you, said no one ever. So we will miss you very much.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Okay, so in any event, Eldraine's gone, as is Ikoria. So companions are gone. As it, what was it? Ikoria, Eldraine, Standard 21, and Theros. Yes. So it's a very interesting standard. So for the past year, we've kind of been previewing it and talking about what it's going to be like here. We saw it with Zendikar Rising that some of the power level was a little lower when we went into Kaldheim. I almost said Kaladesh. Again, we were talking like, wow, it's not making much of an impact in standard because of the, you know, Strixhaven, same thing. And then, you know, finally with the last set that happened with the stuff and the game. Oh, Adventures of Forgotten Realms. And then finally with here, obviously, with Midnight Hunt. They've kept it pretty well at an even keel, these five sets. So we're seeing a lot of shifting here. Now, we tend to look at MTG Goldfish for the rankings. And, I mean, their rankings are changing almost hourly at this point. What I looked at this morning and this afternoon were different. And looking at it now, it's different. So they're seeing a whole shift going on. But I'm surprised in that right now, okay, mono green aggro is there, but aggro is not like top meta right now, which is usually what happens with week one rotation. But we're seeing some things different. What are you thinking, Aramis?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to complain too much because the control deck is currently the top of the meta. That's sort of my jam whenever I play standard. It's not the particular flavor that I'm used to. Is it control? Is not really where I would typically look to find a controlling deck. But it's there, and it looks pretty nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's one of those decks that it's, I'm going to counter everything you have until I get to Alrun's Epiphany. I'm going to cast it. Possibly copy it with Galvanic Iteration. Hopefully I have a hold of Storm Giants in play, and I'm just going to start bashing your face in with a 7-7.
And that's just it. According to MTG Goldfish, it's sitting at 20%. I mean, it's way out in front.
Yeah, I mean, it counters or blows up pretty much everything it can until it can start casting turn spells. It turns, basically what it is.
And I think this is what we want to see. I mean, people are already kind of talking a bit about Alrun's Epiphany. They were talking about it before rotation. That Alrun's Epiphany, people hate turn spells in standard. They really, although there's really no other way to get them in any other format, unless you're counting Modern Horizons.
I think the reason for this is somebody had mentioned this actually a couple of weeks ago, and it's relevant here. Back in the day, say like, you know, 97, 98, taking an extra turn wasn't that big of a deal. You know, you got an extra untap, an extra draw, you got to cast in a couple extra spells, maybe get an extra combat, whatever. Not a huge deal. With the power creep that we've seen in the last, especially 5 years, taking an extra turn now, I mean, you have an extra activation on a planeswalker. Yep. If that's in your deck, all of the cards now have incredible value when they enter the battlefield or when they do pretty much anything. You know, you're not swinging with like jackal pups anymore. You're swinging with things that have like three different attack triggers, and you know they exile things. You cast stuff for free and what have you. So there's just so much more value and power involved in extra turns now that these spells are, I mean, as conservatively costed as Wizards tries to make them, I think it's getting to the point now where maybe 6-7 mana isn't enough.
And to be fair, it is appropriately costed. I think a 7 mana, and it's not as broken as Nexus was.
That was
a 7 mana, but also was like, it's coming back.
Well, you mean you get a couple of birds, plus the extra turn. It exiles, which is good because you can't recur it.
Right.
The foretells, you know, a little bit cheaper. It's 6 mana instead of 7. But if you're able to get to 8 mana and it's already foretold and you cast Expressive Iteration, you're taking 2 extra turns. You get 4 birds.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's weird in that a 6 and 7 cost, 6 and 7 cost extra turn. You're looking at it and going, I mean, it's not too expensive, but is it almost too cheap now?
You mean Galvanic Iteration, not Expressive Iteration.
Galvanic, yeah.
Okay, because I'm like, wait a second, that doesn't seem to.
Yeah,
make well,
there's two different iterations in the deck. They're both in there.
No, but it's. I think if we're going to see a ban, and I hate doing that week one. I get it, but it's already at 20%. I could see.
I don't think so.
The problem is it's in a control shell, it's in a very, it's in a real control shell, not a tempo shell. It's real control shell.
It's unusual that a control deck has taken the top spot this quickly. It does normally take a week or two for that to really figure things out.
But in Arena nowadays, you know, what do you
mean? Yeah, but in Arena, the meta's figured out so much faster. Right. I don't think it's worth a ban. I mean, there's not a lot of ways. You can't do this at instant speed.
Right.
You know, I don't think there's really too many ways to really cheat this. There's not a lot of ways to reduce how much it's going to cost. Six is pretty much as cheap as it's going to get.
Right.
I mean, it's late game. If the aggro deck can avoid some of the, you know, various board wipes that this deck has, it can definitely get under it. It's good. I don't think it's worthy of a ban. It doesn't feel like the fear of it
for me is the 20% is the meta percentage. And again, this is MTG Goldfish, and they're taking an aggregate from various sources, including MTGO, which is 9 times out of 10 made of degenerate players anyway. But I mean, looking at the field, other than like maybe a Gruul Werewolves, or you know, is it Dragons and Mono Green Aggro? Like, I could see where this deck can dominate. Again, we are talking about Sultai control sitting on top of the meta for 5, 6, 7 months here this past season. And I think Wizards getting ahead of it if it stays this way. I think Worlds is going to be telling. I think if we see, is it control in a lot of Worlds? Yeah, they'll respond. I think
it would have to be over 25% of the field. I mean, there's only 16 players.
Yeah, so if, say, 5 people are playing, is it control?
5 or more people are playing it, and it does well. That's the other thing. It could be high in the meta, power its finishes.
Right.
It could be a deck that's very prevalent in the meta, but if it's not winning a lot, or like, you know, I'm talking like, you know, winning tournaments and a lot of copies in the top 8.
Right. Well, it won a standard league.
Standard league is not quite the same measuring stick. I mean, that's the other problem that we're running into. It's hard to gauge the strength of some of these decks because all of the events that are running right now, are at will events, and they're, you know, there's tons of them running right now. There's no real big, you know, open field tournament that are really happening. I mean, Arena.
We're seeing them though. I mean, there are sponsored tournaments out there.
Like, yeah, but it's not the same as a GP. It's not the same as a Pro Tour.
I think the world is different now. I don't know that. I mean, if we wait for GPs and stuff.
No, I'm just saying that it's harder. You have to look at this from a different angle than you would have in the past. Whereas, if a deck 2 years ago was at 20% of the meta, we'd be screaming from the rooftops for a ban.
Right. I could see it going, and I'm not saying right now. I think you're right. I think 5's the number at Worlds. I think 5 is absolutely the number at Worlds. If there are 5
is the number
more,
of Worlds, but it has to be 5. Somebody of those 5 has to win, and I think probably 1 or 2 more of them have to be like in like the top.
I'm
going to
say
4 or 6.
At least 3 of the top 8. If 3 of top 8 are which with 5, it's a good odds anyway. But if 3 of the top 8 are this deck, if they are, because what it is this. It's the guys and people, I shouldn't say guys, but the people calling it, when they're so annoyed that they're recalling the same decks, you know, you kind of hear, you'll hear like, can't remember his name there, but there's, you know, you know, a few of the guys will just start being like, here we go again with, is it turns or is it control? And that's just it. It's also, it's 20%, but it's also called, is it turns, which was seeing some winning in some of the events. I'm not saying it should have a ban. I'm saying I won't be surprised if it gets one.
I would be surprised.
Yeah.
I would actually be quite surprised.
I'm not collector booster level sure it's going to happen yet. Give me a week. But, I mean, because again, the fact that control's coming so hot out of the gate doesn't bode well for the meta. And Wizards absolutely needs this to be a good meta. They have to have it. There's an incredible amount riding on this year's meta. They've had such lousy metas the last 2 years. And we've also had a pandemic, which has impacted paper. Now, they've made a ton of money, and Hasbro's happier than a pig in crap right now. But I'm saying Wizards might be like, look, we are going to lose. You know, Wizards is going to play more of the long game than Hasbro is, in my opinion. And Wizards will be like, look, if we don't have a healthy meta, eventually, like, we're going to lose people. You know, we're not going to be able to do the things we're going to do. I would like to see this, what John say, in the form of counters. Is it specifically as Prismatic Command 2, which is good against the Chariot? Yeah, because that's just it. It's the Chariot. The Chariot and Ren 7 combo is ridiculous. And, I mean, that's kind of why I think the number 2 deck, the Mono Green Aggro, you are seeing that everywhere. Now, I would be more likely to see I think we're going to see a lot of Mono Green in Worlds. I do.
That wouldn't surprise. Like, I think these two decks are definitely the top decks. Yeah. I think Izzet and Mono Green are sort of playing off of each other, sort of like the rock paper interaction. We need to find there needs to be a scissors deck. There needs to be a third deck in there that really sort of disrupts one of the other two. I'm not sure that that's emerged just yet. But
I know people are trying with Gruul Werewolves. I don't think it's there.
Yeah, I mean it's. I'll put it this way. I don't think anything in Standard right now is scary enough for a ban.
Right. I would agree with that.
I mean, I would like as far as confidence level, anything happening before Crimson Vow, I'd be willing to probably put down at least a bundle.
Really?
Yeah.
No bans before Crimson
Vow. No bans before Crimson Vow. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the meta's in a good enough spot. I'm very confident on that.
Oh, that's a tempting offer, sir. a bundle. See, like a pack, I'm like, no, but God, you know what? You know I'm a degenerate gambler, son of a... Ah!
I almost said a booster box.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't go a booster box.
Yeah, I almost said, because I'm very, very married. Confident.
I'm enjoying being married these days.
I'm real confident that there's not going to be a ban before the next set comes out. I think...
What do you guys in the chat think? Let me
rotation
know.
Just happened. I mean, yes, these are powerful cards, but it's not. They're not the problem right now. I don't think anything is really that scary.
So you're saying no ban, not Alrun's Epiphany. Like I would even go with like Alrun's Epiphany.
Nothing.
Wow. Nothing.
Nothing. They're gonna after what's happened the last year and a half. They're gonna hold back unless something is just absolutely disgustingly broken. And we would have already seen it.
Ooh.
Think about it. Because think about when Omnath came out, how quickly did we realize how huge of a mistake that
it
was?
It wasn't even out yet before everybody was calling
exactly.
for it.
Exactly. So I think if anything was going to get banned, we probably would have already seen it, to be honest. Because they've already had so much data.
I'm going
to see
sit on this. And I'm not going to research it. I'm not going to go on the web. Like those in the chat, those of you here right now, let me know if you think I should take this bet. You know, it's just the stakes of it. Now you've got me. Now you've literally made it interesting.
I am
a degenerate gambler, son of a bitch, too.
If there is a ban in Standard before Crimson Vow, I have to buy Benson a bundle of, I mean, I would imagine Midnight Hunt, right?
No, Crimson Vow.
A bundle of Crimson Vow? Okay.
Yeah.
So I have to get Benson a bundle of Crimson Vow. If there is a ban in Standard before that
bundle.
Set releases.
Not a collector
regular
bundle.
Yeah,
yeah. Not the holiday bundle.
No, regular bundle. So it's like, what, $45?
Yeah. Ooh, John, you think I should take... So you don't think I should take this bet?
And if there isn't a ban by Crimson Vow, Benson would have to buy me a bundle of Crimson Vow.
Wow. I'm going to think about this a little bit.
I'm pushing my chips on the table.
This is good content too, though. That's just it. I'm like, I'm willing to do whatever I got to do for the show.
Mm-hmm. I'm booster box confident, but I'm
because
putting
I already
in a bundle because
owe
I know
you a collector
you,
booster.
You know.
I do owe you a collector booster because we didn't have. I owe you a collector booster for some bet we made.
Jace, I think.
Yeah.
You said that Jace was going to get banned.
Yeah. No, it was a Morta Kanan.
A Morden Cam Morden Kanan.
Yeah, that was it. Being a sign of a downward trend of Wizards banning cards just to appease a player base that doesn't really need. John, you're actually making my point. John, Jake, let me know what you think. Okay, so Jake's here. Jake could be a voice of reason. All right, Jake. All right. There's now a bet on the table. Jake is in our chat, by the way, and you can join this live fun by going to our Twitch channel if you're listening on your podcast. Aaron, I have suggested that it's possible I could see a world where Alrin's Epiphany gets a ban shortly, especially if we see it a lot in Worlds. But then it turned into any bans before Crimson Vow. Aramis is saying he's willing to bet a bundle that there will be no bans before Crimson Vow. I'm thinking with a Worlds tournament and SCG starting to fire some things, it's a possibility, especially with the fact that Instant Control is taking 20% of the meta. What do you think, buddy? Should I take this bet? Do you think it's a safer bet for me? John thinks Aramis is right, but then again, he also made my point when he says, if we see a ban, I think it will end up being a sign of a downward trend of Wizards banning cards just to appease a player base that doesn't really know what it wants or needs. Yeah. I really feel like that makes my point.
I don't see anything glaring enough to warrant anything happening before the next expansion.
Nothing's
quite that crazy. I don't hear anybody screaming from the rooftops.
Listen, but they banned for less than crazy. They've banned for, hey Pam, how are you? Your husband, I'm taking your husband down the dirty road of gambling. Anyway, I'm not saying that it's an automatic. Wizard has banned in the past for less. Look at this, Dr. Alien.
That is true.
You know what? All right. I'm hearing, Jake, you're going to be my deciding vote. So Alien, I don't think the meta is more trash than pre-rotation, and they've shown they will ban before rotation. I don't understand what the hell he's saying. He's been drinking.
I think he's leaning into your corner.
That, you know what? That's that it. Will that. Be That's a ban. Two. All right. Boom. Done.
All
bundle.
Right, you're taking it?
Bundle. Bet.
Okay.
Make it. That's what's happening. This is it.
Putting it on my phone.
Ban. All right. Now, everybody, start tweeting. If you're at home, you need to start tweeting Wizards how badly we need a ban. Pick a card that we need. I'm assuming Asika's Chariot or Alrin's Epiphany. You guys in the web, figure it out. I could see Asika's Chariot. Phone. A lot of people are calling like that's a ooh, Goldspan Dragon too. Goldspan's just a good red card, and red has absolutely nothing else. They ban Goldspan Dragon and it's bye bye red.
Yeah. Goldspan's really good, but I mean Renin 7 is a good deterrent. And there's a lot of really good removal in this set.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's the most broken card, but look at that being the most broken card as opposed to what was the most broken card before. Omnath.
Yes.
Oko. Uro. Look at the ridiculousness
Uro was
that
the
they
last
had.
Really big
Goldspan is
that we
not
all...
on that
Uro
level.
Uro was the... Yeah, but you know what? Fires of Invention wasn't either. Really.
Fires
there were a lot
Fires
of ways
of Invention
to work.
Was scary because it let you play free spells. It was free mana.
Yeah, but it was still... You could, you know, it was still fairly costed, and I that was an example of them banning because there were crybabies in the world.
A mana doubler. It was a sneaky mana doubler, but it was a mana doubler nonetheless. And those have always proven to be really problematic. Now, Goldspan Dragon does double your mana,
yes,
but only for treasures. So unless you're going heavy treasures, it's a good solid creature either way, but it's not this ridiculous thing that needs to go away. It's not going to go in every deck. It has to be in a red or is it shell to be any sort of good.
Right. I mean, let me ask you this. Can you remember a time where new standard didn't have mono red?
You have to go back pretty far.
I cannot remember a time. Like, they have
nerfed
red. Yeah, they've nerfed red very well. I cannot for the life of me remember a time when mono red wasn't sitting in the top 10 decks, especially post rotation. And shocking, green has replaced it. So
yeah, I can't say I'm losing any sleep over mono red going away.
I loved mono red. I always loved mono red decks. But somebody put in our Discord this week, which is what I kind of want to talk about here. So, I mean, going over the rest of the metagame right now, obviously mono green aggro with Asika's Chariot and Renin 7. Actually, that's more of a Celestia ramp, but other things as well. That's mono green is a absolute contender. And we knew it was going to be. It was that way even before rotation. it didn't lose much. You know, it's playing a lot of cards from it, you know, from the last set. I mean, it just added the Briarbridge tracker, really, is all I can
say. I mean, I feel like a lot of this meta was actually solved, because remember in Arena they had the standard 2022 queue,
yeah,
and that was everything minus Midnight Hunt. And all Midnight Hunt really did was kind of reinforce some of the existing archetypes that are already there. I don't see, like, other than Werewolves.
And Mono, I think Mono White Aggro got a shit ton.
Mono White Aggro got a boost, but it already existed.
It already existed, but I mean, it's using Chaplain of Alms. It's using,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Is like it didn't create any new decks other than Werewolves,
right?
And I think
Werewolves
that
is just a variation on Gruul, really.
Yeah, yeah. I think the meta was largely solved. So this basically double down on this is that it's, if something crazy and really busted was gonna come through, we probably would have already seen it.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny to think that, you know, I would have thought Mill was still going to be a mechanic. I actually put that out there, and not even close. Thank
so
God.
That's not a mechanic. I've played Mill strategies before, and
it's always feel bad. Even when you win, you kind of want to apologize to the guy.
I mean, one of my commander decks has a Mill theme, and it's like, I don't really play it that much because it's just like, I'll play it, and then it's like, all right, I got that out of my system. Let's move on.
Yeah. That's where I hope I'm playing Nexus of Fate against you, where I could just be like, nope, shuffling it in, taking turns forever.
Yeah, but if the mill is Ashiok Dream Render, that kind of ruins your day.
Yeah, that fucks me
up. That just exiles it.
So that's kind of the state of standard right now. And to kind of keep this going, the variation on a theme here, I'm trying to find out. Johnny the Man put in the in the chat here, the early pillars of standard. He found an article on Reddit. So if you want to find that link, it's in our Discord, where somebody went ahead, and I don't think this is anybody important. It's Jay Silve, whoever that is. And it was in the Spikes Reddit, subreddit. Sorry, I have to use the right words. But I'm sorry, I'm not 22. I'm using words that old people use. I'm on the Facebook. All right. So anyway, moving on. But it does kind of talk a little bit about new standard and stuff and what he felt his pillars are, and I kind of can get behind this. You know, he's been seeing, you know, Asika's Chariot, Goldspan Dragon, Alrun's Epiphany, Blood on the Snow, which I was surprised, Renin 7 obviously in Ranger class. So Renin 7 seems to be the hit of this particular set, and that's shocking to absolutely no one. You know, it's really, he's saying it's those six. I would also add, I think Tolvar, if you're playing Werewolves, is busted out loud. Or Tolvar, not Tolvar. But, I think you're seeing a lot of shattering, Shatterskull Smashing in red decks at all. And for Mono White, I mean, you know, it's hard to get over Intrepid Adversary. Like, you know,
the good thing about this format, I think, is that there's so much good removal.
Yeah,
that the creature based strategies, as good as they are, you can keep them in check. Obviously, Is It Control doesn't play any main deck creatures.
Yes.
But
what is its win con? Is its win con just pissing you off and making you
quit? It's either the birds or the land, the blue one from Forgotten Realms. It turns into a 7/7 with like Ward 3 or something.
And then you know what? I would have added Maul of the Skyclaves there. If you're playing a white deck, you're putting that in almost automatic.
Yeah, because you're super heavy on creatures.
Yeah. So I mean, but he was pretty much right. And then he kind of broke it down into BO1. We don't have to go over that because play BO3. What the hell's your problem? Learn to sideboard. I mean, BO1 exists for one reason. Well, I've got 15 minutes to use the bathroom. I'm just going to go and play around. But it does kind of go through too about, rotation, common themes. Again, I think he does. I just kind of skimmed it because, I mean, my God, is it long. I'm still amazed that aggro, other than mono green, is not more. And again, no mono red is not a format here. You know, it's like it seems to be a lot of mid-range, a lot of control, tempo. Sultai has a ramp deck that's kind of floating out there that a lot of people are starting to kind of hip to.
So Tyramp didn't go away with rotation. Great.
Well, it got Limerith, and Limerith is he's not horrible, and he's too cheaper. So, I definitely definitely think that I'm glad rotation happened. Again, I really wish they would go to, instead of once every year, it's every new set, one set rotes out, six sets back, maybe, because I think that would keep the format fresh, and it would have got Theros or Eldraine out of us 6 months earlier. But, I'm not going to be, PTSDing on that. So what do you think? Like, what are your thoughts on this stuff?
Part of it for me, look, I'm like you're saying, I'm just glad rotation happened. We were just so over this last standard for so long. I mean, really ever since Ikoria, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting.
Right.
It's hard to believe that all time was at the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
It feels like it was forever ago, but that was in like January.
Yeah, because standard didn't change.
Standard hasn't changed.
Right.
And
Zendikar Rising was like,
yeah.
I mean, because we haven't been waiting for rotation since Ikoria. I think I could say though, we had so much hope for rotation last year, the four that came out before Eldraine came. We were ready for that rotation as well.
War of the Spark and all that.
Yeah. Losing like the guilds and War of the Spark. We were ready. We wanted to see a world with not so many god darn planeswalkers. But now, hi Pam. I'm assuming you're talking to Pam, or you're just looking at your.
No, I'm just checking my binders to double check my timeline.
But I definitely, I really like. We had such hope, and then it got dashed. For once, it's nice to have it go the way we think it should go.
Yeah, this standard's in a good spot right now. Is it the most exciting meta out there? Probably not. It's weirdly quiet. That's, I think, the one thing is that it has jumped to an early lead, but I don't really feel like it's running away with anything just yet. It's a weird feeling. I mean, it's clearly the best deck right now, but it's also,
if you look though, it's also literally the second cheapest.
That's another good thing is that standard right now is very inexpensive.
Well, obviously, that was going to be the second thing we were going to talk about. And again, we're not MTG Finance here, but let's talk a little bit about EV estimated value, because today the professor put out his booster box game that he does for every set. So do I. It's now become almost a meme in itself because. Mm-hmm. It started out when he started doing it, it would just go as long as it did, and he'd finish, he'd be like, whatever, and, still buy singles, but we had fun, yay, And he'd make it go an hour. And then the last couple of sets, he's had to, pad it. He's like, okay, and now I'm going to read from War and Peace to pad the time for those of you looking at the timestamps.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this one, I was very curious. I was like, I do look at the timestamp, I'm like, an hour.
I purposely avoid looking at the timestamp because I want to be surprised and see how he did, and two, if he fails, I want to see what he uses to pad the time.
Yeah, well, today I think was one of his best ones because not only did what he do to pad the time, it was far more interesting than reading from War and Peace, which, when he started out in that game store, I'm like, oh hell, it's going to be an infomercial. He did one box. And did not get his, for the first time in a long time, he opened his first set booster box and did not get his money back.
It happened in Forgotten Realms, too.
Yeah,
and I
that's
think it
right.
also happened in
Kaldheim?
The one before. I think it happened in Strixhaven. No, Strixhaven.
Have
happened in
Strixhaven.
Strixhaven
had Mystical Archives. He was doing all right.
Oh.
Yeah,
maybe,
it was
a
Kaldheim, you're thinking, but yeah. But at the end of the day, all right, so he opens one. And not even close.
He got like $87. Yeah.
And he was saying $109. So he's like, okay, let's just open a second one for fun and see how we do. Because he thought it may have been an aberration. This one was even worse. And now he's like, let's play the reverse.
No, he got close. He got closer on that one. That one, I think he got to 91. And the only reason that happened is because he opened like a $30 list card.
Yeah.
It was Micaius the Unhallowed or something.
And then he goes, okay, let's play the reverse booster box game. I will open it. I'll keep opening boxes until I get one that's $109. He opened two more and he got to, I think, what was it? 103. And he's like, no, that's 109.
Yeah. 103. Yeah. Yeah. He made that last one count. That was, I mean, it was very entertaining, but a little painful to watch because, like I was saying before, Standard is probably the cheapest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Because of all the different,
I'm sorry, but when you can get, you know, a borderless Teferi, and I open this, I'm like, woohoo, it paid for my pack. $12. Yes, it paid for my pack, but I would have liked to pay for the collector pack I bought as well. And I'm like, a borderless Teferi, and it's $12.
Like all the various printings of the cards, all the various products that are out there, there's a lot of these cards in the wild. So there's just not a lot of value as far, like if you're ripping packs to get value, you're not going to be getting it from standard sets anymore.
No.
Unless you open some ungodly box that has like, you know, three foil Renin Sevens in it.
I mean, I think the way you and I do it, it makes it more fun in that we're not just trying to get to an arbitrary number and make our money back. We're like, fuck making our money back. I'm beating you. I just want to beat you.
Yeah. We make it a little more interesting, but I think it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it makes it easier to get into standard.
True.
On the other hand, part of the reason for that things are cheaper as well, I think, is people aren't playing standard.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this has to do with the pandemic. I think a lot of this...
100%. I think it's what happened to Pioneer as well. It's Pioneer and Standard and Modern.
Like, Modern and Legacy are actually apparently doing fairly well because
of Modern Horizons.
Yeah, and they're eternal formats.
Right. And
you know, I mean,
well, the people that play Modern have to play MTGO. Okay, if you're going to play... when you couldn't play paper. Mm-hmm. Because of Arena, and because Arena kind of splits the difference because you can play Standard and MTGO... and in Arena, and now it's so damn cheap to play MTGO, I'm considering going back. Because, I mean, it's frustrating because I'm trying to build a standard deck, and it's like, I don't want to buy packs right now. I really don't, so I'm doing some drafting, but it's like, it doesn't feel good to try to get all your wild cards by drafting or to hopefully open these cards you need. And it's like, I really don't feel comfortable just spending. I really feel spending money in Arena for me these days is not a wise investment because I have no ownership of anything in Arena.
Oh, it's never been. It's never been a good investment
and
to,
I know,
put,
but
to
it,
spend money in Arena.
Yeah.
Not that, which I spend money in Arena too, but it's
me,
never.
During the pandemic, I could get around it because I'm like, this is really the only, other than buying a few commander decks or a few commander cards. But now that paper's kind of opening up again. But again, I don't have a standard deck. I don't have a standard paper deck. You know, I'm not buying... You and I were buying two or three boxes every standard set, and we're now pretty much buying maybe one in addition to the one we get. It's... I don't think we're alone. I don't think people are spending as much as standard. Now, when they have the box toppers in the next set, we'll go apeshit. Like, everybody's going to buy it.
That's the thing. I think that there hasn't been, in the last couple sets especially, there hasn't been anything to really entice people to go and buy boxes because, again, all the cards that are in the set, you're going to be able to get them for cheaper than you would normally. Even the biggest Chase Mythic, which is right now running seven, I mean, it's $30-something for the borderless version, not non-foil, which is, you know, a decent price for a card, but it's not, you know, Ragavan.
Right.
It's not, Jace.
Mind Sculptor.
The Mind Sculptor. It's not Liliana of the Veil. It's not these ridiculous cards that are super, super expensive. But part of the problem, like I was saying too, is that because of the pandemic and because of the fact there's no paper events, because of the fact that stores aren't holding, you know, in-store play of any kind, and unless you're playing with your friends and you know they're safe or you just don't care, you're not playing in person at the kitchen table either. Nobody really cares about standard. And it's right. unfortunate because that was their bread and butter for a while. And even though these events are firing on arena, like the World Championship, I think is going to have a standard portion, if not a historic, you know, they have these other events going on. It's just, it's not the same when you see it in arena, and there's a lot of apathy. And a lot of that was also caused by the fact that, I mean, up until rotation, up until what, last week, standard was broken.
Yeah.
It was, and not in the way of saying, oh, it was overpowered. It was broken because there were so many cards that were banned, and the cards that were good and the decks that were good were just at that point where they were good enough to dominate, but not good enough to ban themselves.
Right. And not good enough to, and not fun.
Yeah. It wasn't really fun.
I really believe that the Emergent Ultimatum, okay, you do it once, twice, three times, and then you're like, it's racing to get that out. Or with the Rogue deck, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much your uncle touched you as a child. I don't think anybody is angry enough to play Rogues consistently and mill people out and feel good about themselves. Okay? I don't think that's the way this works. By the way, we're going to skip combat because we're totally running over. I feel like standard, and I think...
We're kind of actually in combat already, but we're both in agreement anyway.
Yeah, I think really that... So yeah, I'll just push the button to make myself feel better.
There you go.
I think Wizards, or by either design or just as it is, okay, because of the pandemic and stuff, they're kind of like, okay, we're just going to kind of hit cruise control on standard for a while. We're going to power down the sets. We're going to make it a little more, you know, easier to get back into, easier to play. But it's obvious they're focusing Commander. It's obvious that they're focusing on Commander these days. I will not be surprised if once we get real tournaments again, and they're already working on it, there's already Commander Fests and all this stuff, that I think we're going to see a GP type event with Commander. And when that happens, I think part of what we love about Commander dies. I really do, because it was kind of ours. You know, it's like when you listened to a really great rock band and then your parents start listening to it and appreciating it with you. You're happy, but you're also like, it loses a little bit of what made it cool, if that makes any sense.
Right.
So, but I would like to see them do something with standard. Obviously, I mean, we're a standard podcast. We've been from jump. I for one am glad that there's more interesting topics to talk about with standard. There's so much now that we can start dealing with. That's why we could push combat to next week, because there's stuff to talk about. You know, it's going to be an interesting thing, I think. But yeah, right now boxes are cheap. Especially if you buy a box, a set back, like those boxes are going cheap. So, I mean, again, though, at this point, you should be, when you're building decks, you should, I hate to parrot the professor again, buying singles is your best bet, especially with standard because it rotates. Now, I wouldn't spend money on Elrond's Epiphany right now. I wouldn't spend money on a Seeker's Chariot. Whether or not they do it before Crimson Vow, I would make an even bigger bet. I might go a booster box with Elrond's Epiphany does not see rotation. I feel that it will piss off enough people over the next 9 months that somebody somewhere is going to be like, we have to ban this card. Right or wrong, but I do think that's what's going to happen with that. But we won't make a bet on that. But I think standard's healthy again right now. I hope they're keeping a finger on the pulse of it a little bit.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Because I do think it can get away from us. I think, is it control? Here's the thing. Vampires are going to be a big part of the next set. Vampires are red, white, and black. Red scares me with regard to, is it control? Black scares me with regards to Esper control. And black and white, you know, I'm like, oh, this could go horribly sideways in the next rotation. And you add on extra turns with that. Uh-oh. So it'll be interesting to say the least. But let's go into main two because we're already at, you know, 50 minutes here. And let's hit main two and start talking a little bit of news. And I do want to give some time to the deck tech.
Main phase.
All right, main two. So... we do have some news. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about Worlds, Aramis?
This is probably going to be the least exciting Worlds that they've ever had, to be honest.
I'm with you.
Last year was probably close to like top three in that regard as well, as far as just not being exciting, not really getting drawn into it.
Well, because again, we were still mid-pandemic.
We're still mid-pandemic. Yeah. I mean, we're not anywhere close to being out of this. It's just, it's so sad. And also knowing that competitive play doesn't really exist anymore. If you're not already in the MPL, if you're not already in the Rivals League, and you're not part of whatever the heck is coming next, what do you do? I mean, Friday Night Magic doesn't really hold any appeal anymore because that would be like a gateway to other tournaments. Those are gone. You know, there's nothing really past that at this point. There's no qualifier tournaments. There's no Grand Prix. There's no SCG Opens. Yes, they're sort of kind of maybe bringing certain things back in certain areas, but
well, I guess SCG is starting to put tournaments together.
SCG is starting in Virginia, but you know, I don't feel comfortable going with that, even with the fact that they're asking for proof of vaccination plus masks.
Right.
You know, I don't feel comfortable going to that yet.
You still have to touch people's cards.
You still have to touch things.
You're still dealing with a bunch of fat, sweaty people.
I wasn't gonna go into the stereotypes, but
it's not wrong. Dude, you have been to those and so have I. Yeah. Tell me now that a GP doesn't smell like a bad locker room.
There's a reputation. And
it's earned. And I'm sorry, I love my Magic people. I understand this is my audience, but let's face it. Let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. You put a bunch of us in a room where, you know, showers could be a luxury because some of us might be sleeping on somebody's car. You know, like, come Sunday, that room is ripe. So
either way, it's a bunch of people in an enclosed space. I don't care how good your ventilation system is.
Yeah.
They're going to be all over each other basically for 2 days straight.
Everybody's picking up cards. They're buying cards. Yeah. They're selling cards. They're trading cards.
I don't play FNM right now. I mean, I played for 2 weeks.
God,
two or three weeks.
I missed it so much.
Yeah. And as soon as they recommended wearing masks indoors again, I was like, you know what?
We were both out.
I mean, because I like, if nothing else, I have a kid who's not vaccinated because he can't be yet. And I don't want to put him in any more risk than I have to. So do I still go to Kerwin's? Occasionally, yes. I'm only there to buy cards.
But as a customer, yeah.
Only as a customer. I wear my mask. I don't touch anybody else's stuff. I try to stay away from other people. And, you know, I'm as safe as I can possibly be because I can't, you know, it's not being able to do anything is not what I want to do. I mean, I've been doing what I'm supposed to have been doing. I'm vaccinated. I wear my mask. But I still don't feel safe because
Dude, you're not wrong. Even this weekend for me at the Renaissance Festival, I'm telling you right now, it felt strange. And I made the joke quite a few times to people. And I work with some pretty conservative people, but I made the joke a few times. I'm like, wow, you can almost taste the COVID. Because, I mean, it was the first nice weekend they've had down there and really up here in a very long time. So a lot of people went to this festival, and it's outdoors, so a lot of people weren't wearing masks. And I'm like,
I'd get yourself a rapid test.
Oh, I was just sitting there, and I'm like, you can taste the COVID. Like, I'm like, this is insane. But, you know, I was there with more people, and, you know, you're gonna.
I mean, like,
they did pay for my hotel room. So
since my son's gone back to school, the schools had over 20 cases.
So has ours. So,
you know, we're getting notifications or multiple. We got 4 notifications today.
Damn.
You know, so it's
real. It's out there.
It's real. It's out there. And we're not at a point where we can have in-person events in any real scale. which means competitive Magic is kind of really not interesting because it's the haves. It's only the people that have already gotten there.
And they're winding it down.
They're winding it down. After this year, and maybe part of next year, what is there? They haven't announced what's coming.
No, they have announced what's coming. Nothing.
But I want to watch this. I want to try to follow it. But at the same time, I'm like, does it really matter?
Who wants to watch a video game? I'm sorry. I love to watch paper Magic. And there are people that watch Commander Craft, and one of the things they say to us is like, look at this, you're playing paper. It's like, yeah. You know, there is an interaction. There are missed triggers. There's so much that happens in paper that doesn't happen in Arena or MTGO that I find it more interesting to watch paper because I'm also seeing the cards, seeing how it's, they're played. I can imagine my cards. I've seen my cards in my hand like that. There's a certain ability to put yourself into the game mm-hmm. when you're watching somebody play paper than watching somebody play Arena.
Right.
So I think there is something to that. I think that's what Worlds has suffered from this last year, and I think they'll suffer this year. The field is not as diverse as it's been in the past. It's not.
I don't think there's any girls in this field.
No. And I'm not so much going that regard as far as diverse, but Autumn last year, they were in for their first time, and there's a few first timers, but
it's mostly the same players that have been around for the past couple of years. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. I mean, they are the best players in the world. The problem is there hasn't been a chance for any new blood to be injected into this hierarchy.
Right.
If you're not already, like I said, if you're not already MPL and you're not already Rivals, I would have loved to see if Kenji had been able to make it in. He didn't. And right. Now we don't know what's happening after this. But I just, I looked it up. It's Innistrad Draft and Standard. So that's what we're going to see.
No historic. They're going to be
able, no historic.
That's a mistake.
Just those two formats. So just standard
that's
and draft.
That's a mistake.
And I think that's the problem, too, is that all of the events that we've seen have been standard or historic. This one will be draft, which will be good for them to finally try to figure this out. But,
Why not have all three? Why not?
I know. I don't follow Modern. But I'd love to see Modern.
Well,
I follow Pioneer, but I'd love to see Pioneer.
But drafting is a unique
drafting
skill.
Is cool, and I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad they're finally doing this in Arena.
But it's
because
a unique skill that they haven't played with in World in the other events to get them there. Constructed is how they've been doing it this year. So
much,
throwing draft at them,
they couldn't do limited.
No, I know. So it's going to be interesting. That starts not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. So you guys are going to want to watch that. I'll watch a bit of it, but it's a kid weekend. So, and I imagine there's going to be stuff I got to do because we're going to start tearing down for the fall. Because we only get so many of those kids weekends. Let's talk a little bit. Let's pivot off. We do finally have our Winnabox winner. And for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we have a repeat winner. So give it up for your two-time champion, Jay Grow.
Wow.
And he won again. So he was playing the Xanathar Guild Kingpin deck.
Oh, why'd it have to be that deck? I hate that deck so much.
So he got his deck in. He beat out X-Gult, who was the European contestant who was like, no, I got a friend who will take my stuff. And he was playing the Kinnan deck. So
one of the
Kinnan decks. But yeah. So they did send us videos. We do have these videos. We're going to put together and stream live. We'll probably stream live this Friday, whether we do Booster Box Showdown or maybe this event. Depends on if I get my stuff. So, but congratulations, Jay Girl, for the next Winnabox. Okay. So this is a preview for you guys. It's not official yet. But here's what we're thinking. We're thinking we want to do a 100-card historic brawl again. However, the kicker is going to be that obviously Crimson Vow cards won't be in it, but also one commander for the tournament. So
it's going to be first come, first serve.
Right. Yeah. So that's why the patrons are going to have a leg up. Patrons will still have 3 or 4 days to sign up for this tournament, free entry. You will declare your commander, and once you declare your commander, you don't even have to give us a deck list, but you have to declare your commander when you sign up, and then once you do, that's your commander.
And so nobody else can have that
commander. Nobody else will have that commander. We will not have Teferis fighting each other. We will allow for Planeswalkers, although we talked about not. but for this one, we'll allow Planeswalkers. But I think this is an interesting little way to kind of do it up. Yeah. So to
clarify too, if you picked Teferi Master of Time, you can still pick Teferi Who Slows the Sunset, right, or whatever it's called.
Or Teferi Hero of Dominaria. You can have multiple Teferis, multiple Chandras, yeah, multiple Nisses, and all
this
that.
This has to be a different one, yes, as your commander. So if you wanted to play Chandra Tribal, somebody else, you'd have to pick one of the Chandras, and then somebody else could pick, right, a different Chandra as their commander.
Just for a commander. So every one of these decks, and this one I'm going to try, I may pump it back up to 64. I think we might get interest in that. Nah, let's keep it at 32. We'll keep it at 32 to keep it interesting. So I'd hate to see some of the commanders after 32. I'm playing
Oswald Fiddlebender.
Yeah, Morden Kanan. No.
I've seen a Morden Kanan deck.
I know. So
it's annoying.
So that is, be planning for that. So don't be sending me messages now saying, I want this commander. The sign up will go live for the patrons when it goes live, and then it's first come, first serve after that. Any level of patron, we're not going to say rare, mythic, producer, and all that. If you're a patron, you're in. So that will probably fire once we start previews. So sometime next month. Because I think...
Wait, they haven't started yet?
I think preview season starts, what, November? First week in November?
Probably starts next week for all we know.
No shit. So that's going to be the winner box for that. But Jay Grow, I've already sent your information to Kerwins. They tell me that they're going to get their stuff out to you. Let us know when you get it. Congratulations. Finally, our last bit here. So Wednesday night, we had a few people pop in at the end of Commander Craft, later in Commander Craft. Very excited. They had just discovered us. And one of them was, I can't remember their name here. Well, they're KN3TYK. They sent us an email. You got the email, right? It went to the Planeswalker, the Planeswalker.
I just saw it at the beginning of the show.
Levi Hensley. I probably shouldn't have threw their name out on blast. All right. So he sent us a deck list using Tapped Out. His commander is Primillion Skyramper.
Primicon, yeah.
Yeah, and what he's saying is that it's a deck list he wants us to go over. It's a forced combat pillow fort deck where the idea is to make my opponents kill each other while I stay protected. Thanks a ton. And then he asks if there's any way to notify him when the show is on. That'd be great. Loves to be a part of the community. Wants to play some matches. Wonderful. We'd love to have you, Levi. So I took a look at this deck, and I got to be honest, I've never seen this commander, and I've never seen this kind of theory is the best way I could put it. You know, like this...
Yeah, Primicon came in Commander 19 precons, whichever one was Jeskai, the one that took like instants and sorceries and stuff like that. Yeah. Primicon was one of the alternate commanders for the deck.
Right.
And people have been clamoring for a wall legend for a while.
Right.
And Primicon was their answer. And for those of you who don't know, Primicon Sky Rampart is a 1/5 for Jeskai, so blue, red, white, with flying and defender. As Primicon Sky Rampart enters the battlefield, choose left or right. Each player may attack only the nearest opponent in the chosen direction and planeswalkers controlled by that opponent. So, yeah, you can only attack your left player or your right player, whichever direction you pick.
Which, if we were playing Spell Table, this would get interesting.
It would work really well because if you're in the upper left corner, you can only attack the person either to your
right,
to your left, or across from you,
right?
And the way that his deck is working is basically making it so that if you're able to actually attack him, it's not feasible because you have to either pay a bunch of mana or do a bunch of other stuff before you can even declare your attackers to him. Otherwise, if the commander's in play and all this other stuff is happening, you have to attack. But you have to attack somebody other than him.
Right.
And in the meantime, he's just sitting back and watching the fun.
Well, you don't have to. It says each player may attack. So I'm sure he's
he's got a creature in here that a Warmonger Hellkite that says all creatures attack each combat if able.
Oh, fuck.
and then you pay one in red. Attacking creatures get +1/+0 till end of turn. So
this looks piss me off as hell.
He's got a Mage's of the Moat in here. Yeah, he's got. Archon of Absolution. So yeah, he's got that. Archangel of Tithes. So yeah, if he doesn't have Primacon out, he's basically making it so that if you want to attack, you have to pay 10 mana for each creature.
So what do you think of this deck? I'm looking at it, and I mean, he's got a pretty good mix.
I like it. I mean, I do too. It's stalling. It basically it sits back and stalls. It doesn't do anything overtly aggressive to the other players. It just says, just leave me alone.
Right.
And, hit each other. And short of uncounterable board wipes, it could lock things down pretty quickly.
I mean, what do you think? If he's missing anything, I'm looking for a win con for him.
His win con is the deck. His win con is your opponents are killing each other.
Right.
And then by the time it's down to two players, his guys can't attack you because they're all either goaded or he has to pay a million mana. So, yeah. He might Cyclonic Rift your stuff and then bounce it. Or
I think the
you attack
Cyclonic
him,
Rift is, yeah. I mean, and he's got the really good land base. I mean,
if he manages to, if his opponents manage to attack him, he just settles the wreckage.
Right. I mean, he's got a few. He doesn't have any fetches. So, I mean, obviously, I'll sit there and say, oh, wait, he's got
flooded
a Flood Strand.
Strand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a Scalding Tarn.
Oh, I didn't see the Scalding Tarn.
Yeah, he's got fetches.
He's got Signet. Yeah, I mean, he's doing.
I mean, he does have Hall of Heliod's Generosity in here twice, so I'm pretty sure that's a typo.
Yeah. Because that.
Where's it? Norn's Annex. Yeah, this is the kind of deck that would be like, be prepared for. It's a deck that could make the game either stretch really long or end it very quickly because you're attacking each other for 75 damage.
Well, I think his win count too is approach. He does have approach.
Yeah, so he sits back and then eventually approaches.
Yeah,
I like it.
I do too. He's Wrath of Godding. I definitely. Yeah, I don't even know that there's anything I would give. I mean, he's Rustic Studying. He's got, if you could get, honestly,
he's playing a lot of the staples in all of the colors.
Would Smothering Tithe help him?
He
doesn't. Well, no, it would because he has a lot of things that's like pay one and a this to do this. He's got some activation costs and maybe having Smothering Tithe would let him.
Maybe Smothering Tithe or Sphere of Safety to really double down on the Pillow Forting. Yeah.
And I might throw Expansion Explosion in here just as a alternate, and a card draw. I just love that card. I really do.
I don't think his deck really is looking for something like that. Ornamenting Escape. Yeah, he's got a bunch of cards that basically says that people can't attack him.
See, I don't like the Martial Impetus. That's what I mean. Like, I would rather see something like an Expansion Explosion to help him maybe violate a counter, but also because I hate Martial Impetus only because it's goading one creature.
Well, yeah. I think it's basically there for earlier in the game when there's maybe it's just the one big beater. Like if somebody drops an Eldrazi Titan, you're like, yeah, that's not coming.
Yeah, but I would think on a three drop, he's gonna want to hit a creature. I don't think he's gonna want to throw a three drop enchantment that's gonna hit somebody else who's got something on the board. I would almost think you're better off because at a three drop he can also play his commander. So at that point, I would think you'd rather have a creature out there, have a body out there.
It also can be used as a bargaining chip. It's also a political tool. Hey, is that guy bothering you? Boop.
But I was like, if I was gonna switch anything out, I would switch Martial Impetus out for something like an expansion. Just to kind of give you it's not the style of his deck, but it's also something they won't see coming because it's not the style. They're going to be like when I played Tainted Pact on you the other day, and you're like, why is that in your deck? I'm like, because you don't see it coming. Like, it's like, it's an alternate win con. Surprise! You know, it's like, Expansion Explosion could allow him to end the game or counter a spell or do something to kind of, you know, keep him a little bit, you know, safer, I guess. I don't know. Something like that. I just, it's a pretty straightforward deck. There's not a lot of, I like shenanigans. And you're playing blue and white. You should have some shenanigans.
Oh, he's got shenanigans in there. Just, you know, not the typical ones.
Yes. I mean, I love the Magus of the Moat. Like, creatures without a fly get attack.
Yeah. And if you think about it, there's not a ton of flyers out there.
No. Maybe even throwing on the Shalai. Like, she might also be a helpful one just for a five drop.
Can't play Shalai.
Why?
Has green and activation.
Oh, fuck, that's right. I keep forgetting about that. With
I mean, if he had Teo, it would give him hexproof, but.
Or Wanderer, let him not take any damage.
Yeah, maybe the Wanderer. You know, it would get rid of some of the bigger creatures earlier in the board, but.
And since he's not playing a Planeswalker, I'll say this every time. If you're not playing a Planeswalker, Immortal Sun. Just put it out there. You getting card draw and stopping Planeswalkers. Like.
The Immortal Sun would be a decent addition to that deck. Yeah, absolutely.
Because the Immortal Sun, for me, that's it. If I'm like, when I'm building a deck, I'm like, do I have a Planeswalker in this deck? No.
Well, and also, too, if you're going that route, if you're going to do Immortal Sun, you might as well do Overwhelming Splendor.
Ooh. You're not wrong. Yeah. I mean,
how scary can the creatures be if they're all 1/1s with no abilities?
And again, your commander's a. And. Does he have a card in here that lets him attack with his commander?
That's a 1/5. Why would he need to attack with that?
I guess you're right. Sometimes you want to plink him for one with flying. I don't know.
He's got enough creatures that can take care of that.
Yeah, he really does. And I mean, he's got Ghostly Prison in there, which I fucking love that card. I just do. And there are 1,000 cards that do what it does, but it's just.
I mean, he also has Azor's Elocutor as a win con. So.
Ooh, interesting. He's playing Dictate of the Twin Gods.
Double damage.
Yeah.
If they're not hitting me, they can hit you for twice as much.
Yeah. Well, what's great is that it's anybody at any time. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody. How is that not in your other deck?
Which one?
The deck you were playing last week. It feels like that should be in your deck.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely in there.
So I'm gonna tell you right now, dude. I think you've got a great deck. I would say if you were going to look for any sort of upgrades, I think you can get rid of the Martial Impet. Oh, he's here. Transmission broke down today. Just joined. Thanks for talking about my deck. I would say I would take Martial Impetus out. I think it's so narrow for, and this is me now. Aramis and I have different play styles. He might say it's perfect. I think it's a very narrow card. You're going to use it, but I mean, there's other things you could put out there.
Well, I think it's in there mainly for the second trigger. Whenever enchanted creature attacks, each other creature that's attacking one of your opponents gets +1/+1. So it's a little boost.
Yeah.
Makes the math harder. And it's one of those effects that honestly, in a commander game, how often do you forget about a creature having +1/+1?
True.
All the damn time.
Yeah.
All the damn time. So you're like, oh, block like this. Like, oh, yeah, you guys all die. Wait, what?
And I don't think you should have Rhystic Study just because if you're playing us, it's just going to get annoying. No.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to look for upgrades, you know, you can decide what to get rid of. But definitely, I think since you're not playing a Planeswalker, Immortal Sun is an auto include. It's card draw. It's adding a dish. It's adding one. Doesn't it give everything 1/1? And
yeah, everything +1/+1. Your spells cost 1 less, and your opponents can't activate loyalty. Well, nobody can activate loyalty ability.
And you get to draw another card. Like,
and you draw an extra card.
All right, if you're not playing, which again with Approach of the Second Sun, if you have Immortal Sun out and then you play Approach, you're getting to it, you know,
a little bit faster,
two turns faster. So,
I would also say just in the end, edhrec.com. Look up Pramacon.
Yeah.
It shows you the top cards that are used in Pramacon decks. It shows you the synergies. like in a percentage, how well it synergizes with the deck. You can see what the average deck looks like.
Dude,
so there might be options in there that you
them
haven't.
Send us their stuff, yo.
I know, but I'm just saying that's a great resource. It's, you know, and we offer some advice, but these guys have a lot of data behind it. They do a good job.
Don't help yourselves. Ask us. We'll do it for you, and become a patron. No, but legit, I really like this deck. And yes, absolutely, we'd love to have you on a Commander Craft episode one night. So. Maybe not with this deck because you'll just piss me off. But mostly built for me, DH Rec. Wanted players' opinions. I love it. I definitely, like I said, the only thing I would really auto include, maybe Smothering Tide, maybe.
That's probably Immortal Sun, yeah.
The Immortal Sun, you know, and I don't even know what it's going for these days.
$25, somewhere around
yeah,
there.
Yeah. It's a really good card that is good. It's $36 according to it's worth it because if you're not playing a deck with a planeswalker in it, you'll just put it, you're going to auto include it. So I definitely recommend that. And yeah, other than that, I mean, you're looking pretty good here, you know, overall. So
yeah, I like it.
Yeah, me too. So, and on that note, unless you got anything else, sir, I guess it's mm-mm. Time for us to hit the old
end step.
All right, so we want to remind you guys here as we're rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in their boxes, taking the pizza boxes over to the trash, because darn it, your mother still does not work in this game store. We do want to remind you that we have a Twitch channel where we stream all of our content. Just look us up there, Planeswalkers Podcast. You'll see all the shows we do, both on Magic and other geeky games that we play. You know, I'm playing a few other games here. We do Commander Craft there every Wednesday. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73, where I'll play anything from DCU Online to Farming Simulator 2019. So check us out there. It's Planeswalkers Podcast on Twitch.
And if you want to interact with us in a more real-time fashion, like Levi did tonight or some of our other listeners, go to our Discord. It's a great community, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. It's also the best way to join our Winnabox tournaments, the best way to, as a patron, let us know you want to play on Wednesday for Commander Craft. Really, it's like one-stop shopping for everything you need to know in relation to the show and to interact with us. We also do have a Twitter if you want to check us out there. We normally tweet when we go live if you're, you know, in the area near your computer or a podcast device and want to listen to us. Or if you have like a suggestion for the show, we might tweet something out there too. At PlanesTalkerPod on Twitter.
And don't forget, we have a Facebook at facebook.com/PlanesTalker. That's not Planeswalkers because that was some loser airplane flyer dude. He took it from us. But we're facebook.com/PlanesTalker. Really, let's face it. If you're going there, tell your parents to go to facebook.com/PlanesTalker because they're really the only ones on it. And like and follow our page there. Don't forget, we also do a playcast on Wednesdays where we play Paper Commander live. Right now, it's open, you know, to patrons until tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, I'll go into the Discord and say, hey, we need this many people. So we'd love to have you there. But even if you don't want to play and just tune in and watch, we play Wednesday nights around 7 Eastern time. You'll find that on our Twitch stream, on our Facebook page, on our YouTube page, on our pigeon carrier pigeon page, our smoke signal page. Just go there. We'd love to have you guys play too if you have a commander deck. So check it out. 7 Eastern, Wednesday. I went off script.
And and finally, if you want to send us an email, again, like Levi did, there are three email addresses you can use. The first one goes to both of us. It's podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email Will directly, his email address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email me directly, that is Aramis, A-R-A-M-I-S, @planestalkerspodcast.com.
And on that note, we want to thank you guys for listening and hanging out with us tonight. We will be back Wednesday for Commander Craft. And we'll be back here next Monday night with another big show, episode 116. Probably talking about a roll up to Worlds and maybe going over some of the more standard stuff that's happened. So we want to thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for listening in your cars. And for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson reminding you to always remember to leave some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care, have a great week, and we'll see you Wednesday for Commander Craft. Bye-bye. And we're out.
And this sucks.
What happened?
My audio Audacity crashed at 46 minutes.
We lost it? All right, well, use Facebook audio.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about uploading to Dropbox. I'll grab it off Facebook and Twitch.
Yeah.
That, my friends, is why we do what we do. We have learned our lesson.
My audio tanked tonight.
So, and that's why I stream. Somebody asked me once, they're like, well, because I mean, I know a lot of podcasts that what they do is to make it polished, they record offline and then they just put it out to their podcast. I'm like, no. I'll do a live stream. Two reasons. First of all, you might win a booster, now a bundle box, because our listeners talked me into it. They probably don't even really believe there'll be a band, but they're like, yeah, let's get Will to lose money. also, it's a backup audio source. So, yeah, you know what? I'm still going to save my audio just in case I have to get creative. So,
yeah,
save it, you know, just in case. I mean, because if the audio is real bad.
Oh, it's already gone.
Oh, okay. You fucking suck, dude. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see the notification or anything. It's just gone.
Wow.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I'll just grab the audio as much as I can. So, why am I even saving my audio then? That's just stupid. I'll save the project just in case. But, yeah, I am freaking wiped, dude. That trip killed me. What was this, episode 115?
Yeah.
So, yeah. What are you playing this week?
Brand new deck.
I'm thinking very seriously about playing the Undead Unleashed. Like, maybe I'll upgrade the Lana base on this, you know, but like to be like, hey guys.
Well, I actually already have, I have the deck list posted in the deck list channel already.
Oh yeah, that's true. You what I'm playing.
Yen Arcanum Weaver.
So I think I might do this just for, you know what, I think it's a really good thing too. Like it's good content as far as, okay, what is it like when you roll up with a pre-con against people playing tuned decks? How bad do you get beat?
Well, I mean, from what the professor said, the zombie one actually held its own.
Well, we're going to try it. This will be it. I really think game one, I'm going to play this. Shit, I got to go buy 100 sleeves. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Wednesdays. Wednesday should be fun. Levi, I hope you enjoyed it, man. Hope you get your transmission fixed. That just sucks.
That's a big bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got a bearing going in one of my tires. That's also not going to be a cheap fare. Yeah. And I'm just nursing the fucker. I'm just like trying. I don't drive the car anywhere. I don't have to. But it's like. Every week you're like, maybe it'll hold out another 2 weeks. And I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to end up by the side of the road with my tire off. But
yeah, you don't want to screw with that because that could happen when you're going 65 miles an hour.
Yeah, but then, you know, I go to heaven and meet Jesus. So
do you, though?
I do. No. all right. So we don't have to do any of this stuff. So we only got about 3 or 4 people watching us. So, yeah, I'm really hoping that dude checked us out who I saw in the Walmart in New Jersey. I was like, all right, this is cool. And again, I realized after, I'm like, I had found my cards last week. Like, our business cards. Mm-hmm. Why didn't I give him one? Like, I keep some in my wallet now. But, again, what do you want to be like? Here, take my card. I don't know.
the first time I went down to F&M when they reopened it, I handed out maybe 3 or 4 cards.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I want to go back to F&M at some point when we got to get this freaking pandemic under control.
Once I basically decided that once they say that you don't have to wear masks inside anymore.
So spring.
Basically spring. Yeah. Once they reverse that particular, it's like, cause it's not a mandate, but they're saying basically suggesting it. And as long as they're suggesting it, I'm numb. Nope.
Yeah,
not gonna take the chance. Or if Ollie gets vaccinated, if he's fully vaccinated, I'll consider it. Because at that point, at least we all have protection. I don't know.
I would still. I mean, I'm all protected here, but I'm gonna tell you right now, Wendy, this thing she's had in her chest. I mean, they tested her for COVID. Like, thank God it came back negative. But I'm like, I just went to New Jersey. Like, I'm like, holy shit, I went to a work event. Like, I will be an absolute...
You should probably get tested just to be safe.
No, but I'm more like, if she had it, I'm like, I just infected my entire team. Like,
yeah.
But luckily, she doesn't. But right. We still don't know what's wrong with her. But I mean, she's still like having trouble breathing. And she's like, it happens every fall. I think she's got a real bad seasonal
probably
allergy.
Should be cutting a live stream at this point, though, too.
Why?
I don't know. That's personal stuff.
Yeah, but it's okay. Like my wife's name is Wendy, and she has breathing problems. No, but we should cut it anyway because there's only three people. So we will see you guys Wednesday. Patrons, let me know if you're seeing this that you want to play. In fact, I should probably put it in the patron channel because I just never – I keep forgetting. Like I was so behind the ball today, like because I lost – I traveled on Friday. Mm-hmm. So I was like – I got into work this morning, and I'm like, holy crap. Yeah, I'll do that now. But patrons, if you want to play, let us know right away. Otherwise, tomorrow I'll be looking for at least one more player. So good night, everybody. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.